Okay, so yesterday, yesterday, we talked about the Shaila, the Machlokas Rishonim, as to what the Melacha of Chovel is. And there are a number of Rayos, which we didn't go through in terms of the various Sugyas, how the different Rishonim would explain the different Sugyas. If we saw the Shittim Kuvetzas, for example, how Rashi would learn Sovei and Dam Mesulim, maybe you care about that. But anyway, when all said and done, are there any nafkaminas to the debate we saw last time? And also, then, how do we paskin? So, one nafkamina would be if you. It's so interesting. I keep on losing everything I write. Know why this happens. One nafkamina is the Gemara, it would be the shear. This is the classical nafkamina. So the Rambam says that the shear is kegrogares, and that's because that's the shear for disha. So it's only if you are chovel kegrogares. The Magid Mishnah points out, according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, that shear doesn't make sense. According to Rashi, the shear would be like the shear of tzoveya. Now, that could lead to something really funny, because the classical shiurim of tzoveya are relevant for clothing. How would you apply the shear of tzoveya for like a bruise or dam besulim, assuming like that you care about that or the like? It's a little tricky. Maybe you wouldn't apply the shear of tzoveya, but it certainly wouldn't be kegrogeres. And according to Reinu Tam, so presumably the shear is kolshu, because even netilas nefesh b'miktsas is a netila mali katla. Kula mali katla palga. Another potential nafkamina is whether it's shayach chovel la'achar misa. And a actual lemaisa application of it, and we'll get to the details a little bit later, would be cord blood banking and the like. In other words, what do they want to do? They want to take the stem cells from the placenta to save them. In the event that might be helpful later on. So if you learn like Tosfos, then there's no Shaila, there's no Isser at all, there's no Chovel, it's not alive. If you learn like the Rambam, then the Pashtus is it would still be Aser. So we'll see later on that there's nothing to be made on that, but we'll get there. Another nafkamina might be Hakazastar. So the Bir Halacha thinks it's a nafkamina, though the Magen Avraham doesn't. The Bir Halacha says if the Machayev is because of Netilas Neshama, so then it's considered Tzricha L'Gufa, because you need to be healed or cured or healthier. So there is, it would be Tzricha L'Gufa, the Hotzas Hadam would be Tzricha L'Gufa. However, if you say that the Malacha is Dush, so then it would be Eina Tzricha L'Gufa. It might actually be chai for the Rambam anyway, because he says Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. But fundamentally, if you hold that the Malacha is Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, so you have no tzorech for the dam, and the Malacha is extracting the blood, but that which you extracted is of zero interest to you. This would be similar to the fact that we say, for example, that cholev le'ibud is mutter. It's Ein Tzricha L'Gufa at the very least, and therefore there's only a Rabbanan Shaila which you could address more easily. Why? Because you have no need for the milk. The milk's holy ibud. You're just trying to get rid of the pain. So here too, you don't need any of the blood that you're letting. You're just trying to be healthier in some way, get rid of the disease. I don't know why people would bloodlet, but anyway, it would be only Eina Tzricha L'Gufa. A potential nafkamina, which we alluded to last time, would be whether you need pressure. As we saw, the Hashlama thought that should be a nafkamina. If you hold like the Rambam, you could argue you would need pressure. Though again, Hashlam acknowledges that's not, it doesn't sound that way from the Rambam necessarily, but in theory at least, maybe you would argue you'd need pressure, just like Disha needs pressure. If you learn like Tosfos, it doesn't really make a difference.
How do we know that pressure is required by Dush?
So, the act, I don't know how to prove that, but it's mistaber that extracting means pulling something out or taking something out from that which is in, or even like we said before, if you, without pressure, somehow cause the olive to squeeze its oil, to like squirt out oil, not clear that that would be dash.
I'm saying that meaning, why couldn't you have said that often?
I'll read you what he says. I understand what you're saying. This is lush, is lashon of the Hashlama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tzia b'chlal disha, peirush, potz o, dochek es habasar kedei sheyotzi es damo, the dami l'schita. L'fika chai Rabbi Yehuda mishum disha. Aval chovel, afal pi sheyotzi adam, ein bo mishum disha, delav schita hi klal. Rak harav Rav Moshe kasam, the chovel told the dash, fine, mishum afart, fine. So, I don't know, he assumes that it's only domet to the malacha of disha if you put pressure on it. Schita means with pressure. You're saying if somehow or another I cause something that's absorbed to get secreted even without pressure, yeah. And I don't know if there's a riot, but at least the Hashlama takes that for granted.
When we learn dash, and like the question they ask about the grapes getting, why be chayav when you just take grapes off the tree? Some of the Rishonim say you have to like have it hit the ground very hard. So Rav Willick had mentioned that some of the Achronim say it's because only if there's pressure are you high for dash according to a bunch of the Rishonim.
Okay, so that's another place where you might see that. Good. So how do we paskin? So the Bir Halacha and the Magen Avraham both say that Rav Rishonim hold that the Mechayev is because it deals the Shama. The Bir Halacha adds that if Lamaisa, that you have some interest in the Tzviya, then I don't, again, it's pretty hard to come up with a hiratimtza, but then you'd also, he quotes the Rashba, but you'd also be chai for that. Kagon shen istab ha'or kashir tzviya al yidei adam, shen iska b'etz tachtav min ha'chavala b'yeshel ezet sorech b'tzviya zu. So then the Rashba at least says you'll also be choshir for Rashi. So are we choshish for the Rambam? Mikra didn't, sounds like we paskin like Rav Rishonim and not the Rambam. Though it's not so pasha to just ignore Shitas HaRambam, especially if you're dealing with a De'oraisa Inyan. What about if it's Derech Meriva? So here the Rambam writes that you're chayiv. If you punch somebody in a fight, you're chayiv. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? You're not allowed to punch people. That's not a tikkun. That's a kilkul. So the Magen Mishnah answers, a point that we already saw by Korea. This comes down to basically how you read the Gemara in Daf Kof Hamid Beis. The Gemara over there talks about Korea b'chamaso. And then the Gemara says, yeah, well, it's Avin Nachas Ruch Liyitzro. The Gemara says, 1 second. That's Avodah Zara. It's Kilu Avodah Zara. So my answer is, yeah, you're doing it to for chinuch purposes. Fine. So the question is, how do you understand that kasha? So the Ravid, like Rashi, understood that was a kasha of, and therefore it should be Mekalkel. It wasn't a Musar question, just it was a halachic question. And the Rambam understood, no, that's telling you a Musar point. But Lamaisa, a tikkun of that sort prevents it from being killed, Makalko. And we're going to get back to this point at the end of today's year, I hope, when we talk about this question of what is the gader of Makalko and what about it like an ancillary tikkun in a overall act of kilkel. How do you look at that? But that's the machlokas between Rambam versus, let's say, Ravid and Rashi, seemingly, both by Korea and here again by Chovel. Now, could be that by Chovel you'll be chayv anyway, as we'll see in a moment, because Chovel is chayv even if it's Makalko. So why would you say that? So that's the Gemara in Daf Kuf Avnud Aleph, and it's a very hard Gemara. Hard Rishonim, very sidestick of Rishonim, but very hard to, but there's basically a big machlokas Rishonim, how to learn that sugya. We have machlokas Rabbi Avraham and Rabbi Yochanan, and we have machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and how are they related to each other, and how does the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon over here, is that the same halacha machlokas about Inshi Chukuf, or is it a different machlokas? Ayin Sham, if we have time to get back to that, today we can, but what would come out, Lamaisa, is that according to Rashi, L'chora, you might come out that Chovel B'chabura is going to be Chayv, because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. If you learn like Tosfos, it's Mistaber that you paskin like that it's Potter, because this has nothing to do with the Machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon by Inshich L'gufa, and You'd only be chayiv in a situation where it's tzarch lekalbo or mavir tzarch leevro. In other words, you need some type of tikkun ktsas, just like mila vavara, which is the case in the Torah where we see a mechayiv for chovo vavara, there is a tikkun ktsas. Rambam has a shita also. So what situations, let's say like this, what situations would you be chayev for chovel? When would it be pater? When would it be mutter? So a case where everybody would agree is chayev is, let's say it's tzarech ledam. You need the blood. You extract blood, and you need the blood for some reason. So then for sure, you would be chayev. And obviously, a practical application of that would be a blood test. A blood test would be an example. You need the blood. Now, obviously, sometimes it's going to be a situation of pikuach nefesh. So then it's going to be mutter. But if it's not a pikuach nefesh, so then a blood test, drawing blood, would be an iser d'oraisa. However, that doesn't mean every shot is an iser d'oraisa, or even an iser d'rabbanan. A muscular shot, l'chora, would be permitted, assuming there's no iser of refuah. And this is a very common shaila comes up. Let's say somebody takes a growth hormone. It's no pikuach nefesh issue if they skip a day of growth hormone, or fertility treatments oftentimes require shots or the like. So if it's a muscular shot means that it's given into the muscles. So it's okay. Now, what if it bleeds? So first of all, it doesn't necessarily have to bleed. And so it's mutter, it's not even a psik resha. But even if it was a psik resha, so it's a psik resha delo nichala, you have no inyan of the bleeding. It's also mekalkel, which again, maybe Rashi would still say is a chiyuv, but most Rishonim wouldn't, because there's no benefit at all to this hotzas dam. It's ena trichel gufa as well. And therefore, a muscular shots are oftentimes going to be mutter. Again, sometimes it'll be asar al refua. And as you said, typically it's not even a psik resha. Now, there's a middle category, which is a big debate in the poskim, and that is you give an injection into a vein. Sometimes the medicine doesn't go into the muscles. When you just have a stam shot, like you get a vaccine at the doctor and they like stab you and they push it in, that's muscle just going into. There's no inyan, you don't have to worry. Yeah, sometimes it bleeds, you know, they put the little band-aid, maybe yes, maybe no. I think it's not even typically even a psik resha. But what about the question of going into a vein? So certain types of shots, they dafka want to insert the medicine into the vein, into the bloodstream directly, not into the muscles. Okay, so what's the problem? So the problem is that when you're giving the shot, you have to know that you're in the vein, right? You don't want to be like in the wrong place. You don't want to be in the muscle, in the tissue.
Otherwise, your effort's going to be in vain.
The way that this is known is you allow some blood to flow back into the shot, and then you know when you. That shows you you're in the vein, and then you push the medicine in. So this is a big machlokas haposkim, and again, it comes up a lot. According to Chazon Ish, it's an iser d'oraisa, because the mice, you need the blood. It's true, I don't need blood. I'm going to push the blood actually right back into the body after 1 second. But right now, I need this blood for the purpose of letting me know I'm in the right place. The Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, no. You know, at worst, that's enetzricha legufa. He compares it to what we talked about before, secreting a bit of milk so the baby will latch on. In other words, not the purpose of secreting the milk to store the milk. The baby knows where to go or gets excited or whatever it is. So we saw that might be enetzricha legufa. Now, that halacha itself is quite perplexing, as the Sharetzion notes. But lemaisa it's a halacha psuka, and he says that what does that show us? That if you're trying to get the milk out, not to drink the milk, in this case, just to get the baby to latch on, the lashon is Kasav, this is the Shartzion. Kasav Aminyamin, Mashano Heges, Shemekalchos, Meachalav, Kadesh Yochas, Hadad, Beinak Mutter. And there, again, it's an even bigger chesh. The baby is going to drink that milk, but that's not your interest. You know, that one drop is irrelevant for the drinking.
We saw one sheet that you did on the floor, right?
Yeah, so
it's a genius.
Right. So if you then it wouldn't be a raya. But the pashup shot is that it's going into the baby's mouth, but you don't care per se about that milk for the purposes of drinking. So then it's not a do rice. Over here, you don't need have any purpose for the blood. You just need to know that the needle's in the right place, and therefore it's going to be enetzri chalagufa. So okay, it's still going to be aser derabanan. But once we're dealing with a shaila the derabanan, then as we know, there's much more room for leniency. Again, he himself, the Mishnah Brura, is at the end of there says, well, maybe it's only because of the sakana, not so clear. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seems to be uncertain, but noted towards leniency on that shaila. Okay. So that's, as I said, if you need the blood, so that is a pretty straightforward de'oraisa. Okay, so what other cases do we have? So we already mentioned, what about if you're fighting a guy? You're trying to punch out your enemy. Derech nekama. So we had the Rambam, as we said, who says you're chayev, and the Ravid, who says you're pater. There's another angle to this, which the Magen Avraham brings out, and the Mishnah Brura takes note of. The Magen Avraham in Siman Reishayim Ches, Sif Katan Aleph, asks the following stira. He says, on the one hand, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that in Tzrich L'Guf is Pater. On the other hand, we also paskin in Choshen Mishpat, the Tur, paskins in Choshen Mishpat, that if you're Chovo B'Chaveiro B'Shabbos, Darach Meriva, you're Pater from Tashlumim because of Kim Lebed Rabbi Minei. And Magen Avraham says, one second, isn't that an Ein Tzrich L'Gufa? And therefore, why are you Pater? You don't need that blood. So the Magen Avraham gives three answers. Answer number one, V'yesh lomar, D'sukim is Alpkalei, V'gami momen amas mechavraya, Taka, En Achinami, are psak, like the tour is Mesupik about Ein Tzrich L'Gufa, we're machmir b'Shabbos. Well, I guess we're making. He's mesupik. So therefore, for most mechaveraya, if you want to say you're pater, frein shichel gufa, you could. Now, let me clarify a little bit. The Magen Avraham, in his question, why is he assuming it's Enesrich L'Gufa? He's assuming like Tosos' definition of Enesrich L'Gufa, that it's only Enesrich L'Gufa if it's done for the reason for which it was done in the Mishkan, and therefore this would be an example of something that's Enesrich L'Gufa that was not done for the reason that was done in the Mishkan. He's also assuming that Enesrich L'Gufa is Pater even for Chovel, according to Reb Shimon, which is the view of Tosos. It's more or less a Mefush Gemara and Sanhedrin, though again, it might not be true for Rashi. So that's answer number one. Taka, the Tur is Mesupik, and when he says that you're Pater in Choshen Mishpat, right, that means, because maybe the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Enesrich L'Gufa is Chayim, which is actually a very interesting idea. If the Tur actually held that, and you know, Suffolk if the Rambam is right, Suffolk if all the other Rishonim are right, that would be a big chiddush. But that's the Magen Avraham's first answer. Magen Avraham's second answer is no, the Torah is passing like Rabbi Avohu. And according to Rabbi Avohu, you're chai for chovel, even if eino tzarich ledam lekalbo. That would work, l'chora, he means basically like Rashi, the way Rashi learns that Gemara. And then his third answer, which the Mishnah Brura really likes the best, is from the Maharshal. And the Maharshal says that no, hachovel derech meriva daito she'etze mimena dam. In other words, mapitom. What was the way it was done in the Mishkan? You want the blood. Okay, when I'm fighting my friend, what do I want? I want his blood. That's what I'm looking for, right? And therefore you're chayav. So therefore, so it might be, again, whether it's mekalkel or not, that's going to be the machlokas between Rambam and Ravid. Let's say we accept the Rambam that it's not mekalkel, but what about Ein Tzricha L'Gufa? Says the Magen Avraham, Marshal, it is Tzricha L'Gufa. And along similar lines, because you want to weaken him. The Meiri, quoted by the Bi'ur Halacha, says a similar type of thing. When you're hunting or something, you want to be makhish the animal, so you shoot it with an arrow. That chovel, you want that hotzas adam. Why? Because again, you want to be makhish the animal. You want that blood, and that's considered tzrich l'gufa. So the Bi'ur Halacha says that's why it's pashat. For hakazas dam, you would certainly be chayv. Fine. The Mishnah Berurah then deals with the question. This is Shin Tazayin Sif Katan Lamed. What about scratching like a pit bull or something? So he says you have to be careful not to do that. That would only be an Isser Dirabanan, but because in that case, you certainly don't need the blood, when you scratch your pit bull, but at least if you're doing it in a way that might be a psik resha, or scratching a mosquito bite or the like, that would be aser. And he says, don't think it's similar to mapis morsa, where it's mutter. Mapis morsa is about like pus, but if it's blood, so then we don't find, pus isn't chavala. So he thinks that the kula of mapis morsa was only said there. It's a different issue. If it's two-way street, then it's an issur of making a Pesach and like Makam Patish or Binyan. But here it's an issue of blood, so it doesn't matter. So again, it might be only Esther Midrabanan, but it's something that you have to be careful about. The poskim talk about what about pulling a tooth. So the Magen Avraham, Shin Chav Chasif Kan Gimel, says that pulling a tooth is an issur deraisa. So even though the Ramah says it's mutter to have a guy pull your tooth on Shabbos, he says that's only if your toothache is so bad you have the din of a chola kol gufo, in which case a chola shen bo sakana is mutter to have a guy do an iser deraisa. So, but otherwise, a tooth extraction is an iser deraisa, and therefore, even a guy would only be mutter if you're full fledged chola. Says the Pima Gadim, why? So he says de lav mekalkel hu. So here I think he's teaching us two, both of them are actually very big chidusha, right? The first thing he's saying is, even if you hold, lav mekalkel, meaning say, even if you're going to tell me that mekalkel b'chabura is potter, but here, this is lav mekalkel, right? And then he says, moreover, you're chayv according to Reb Shimon, because lo dummy lo tasanes. It's going to be tzricha l'gufa. So let's break that up. So l'chora, I would have thought that for sure this is mekalkel, and it's for sure like lo tasanes, right? This tooth is infected. It has a cavity in it, and so I want to get rid of it. So isn't that like having that's lo tasanes, right? I have this mace in my house, or I have something smelly in my house, or something like that, and I want it outside. So why is he saying that this is not like hotzas ha-meis? So I think he must be saying that, no, that this is a tikkun haguf. In other words, it is true that you are, by getting rid of the infected tooth, you're getting rid of your problem, because your problem is the infected tooth. But the Magen Avraham, at least according to the Prima Gadim, is saying we have to look at this a little differently. We have to look at the overall purpose. I am improving my body, right? Right now, there's something wrong with my body. Namely, there's an infected tooth. And by removing that infected part of my body, that's tikkun haguf. And therefore, it's considered l'gufa. I suppose, similar... Bloodletting. I don't know, again, what exactly the idea of bloodletting is, but let's imagine that bloodletting was to get out bad blood. You discovered certain bad blood in your body and you are now going to pull it out, right? So how do you look at that? So what the Magen Avraham is saying is we don't look at that as hotzas ha-meis. We look at that as tikkun haguf. You're misaking your guf by removing the bad blood. Now, this is similar to the debate that we talked about in a number of places, like cutting your hair. Do we look at cutting your hair as tikkun haguf, or do we look at it as getting rid of the bad hair? Should we see this as einus shichlei gufa or shichlei gufa? Here, it's an even bigger chiddush, but it's a similar type of idea. And this is relevant, I guess, to many in Yanam Rifua. There's a tosis on my katan base, on the base, imaschel, that tsarech le'etzin, who also sort of sounds like a tsarech rifua is considered shichlei gufa. We don't look at it, you know, we don't say, oh, this is like your mesalik as a machala. We say where we are misaking the guf. It's true. Alidei silaka machla. So that's the first chiddush he's saying. And then he's saying something else, which is, well, there's a different problem. The problem is that is like this. But there's no malacha of taking out a tooth. So if the malacha was, I don't know, if you thought pulling out a tooth with gozes, so that we could say, yeah, maybe we look at this as tikkun haguf, or maybe we look at this as hotzas hara. But there's no malacha, as we talked about in gozes, of pulling out a tooth. We talked about why maybe, but there isn't. So what is the malacha? The malacha is hotzas adam. I have no need for the blood. I have no need for the blood, right? The blood, it is definitely a psik resha that when you pull out a tooth, you're going to bleed everywhere. That's for sure. But there's no tikkun haguf. If I ask the guy, I'm going to give you an option, a bloodless tooth extraction. Which would you prefer, bloodless tooth extraction or the standard, right? He's going to choose the bloodless tooth extraction. So the chavala is on the bleeding. And the bleeding is certainly not tikkun haguf. You could look at the tooth extraction as tikkun haguf, but since the malacha here is chaval, so that's why the Mishnah Berurah and the Bi'alacha really has a hard time understanding why this Magen Avraham is true. He quotes that the Shulchan Aruch Rav is also Mekel. For a slightly different reason, it's even fundamentally in a trichel gufa, even if it was on Hotzas Hashein. But besides that, even if you don't accept that, and moreover, it's Mekalkel. And yeah, Rashi might say you're chayav from Mekalkel, but Rashi Shita is a minority Shita. So it could be, you could argue that according to Rashi, it's an Isur Derais over here. If you think that according to Rashi, you're chayav for Einus Shichlei Gufa and Mekalkel by Chovel. But here, where it's being done al yidei gai, you could argue, we could certainly be Sovachan Mekilim, and therefore it would come out that Lamaisa, he seems to be Nota Lahakel, that if you're in, you know, a fair amount of pain, even if you're not at the level of chol hashem bo sakana, we could have the guy do it because this would really be a shvus to shvus. And as we saw, shvus to shvus is much more kal. And again, even if Rashi would say you're chayev, but for nisur derabanan, because anyway, it's a nilan achri, we could be samech on that. He also gets into the issue of the Taz and Rasayaya, but we talked about that earlier as well. So it sounds like he is Nota Lahaka on the tooth extraction.
That's his question?
Yeah.
Regarding Hakaza, it's done in order
to... We just summarize the point. In other words, what comes out is to be Chayv D'Oraisa, you need some type of Tikkun Ktsas. It's not if it's Chovel Gamor. So the bleeding here is Chovel Gamor. And number two is you need Shricha L'Gufa. And if it's not, you're not going to have a Chavala D'Oraisa Shaila unless those two criteria are met. So he thinks Hakaza Saddam, those two criteria are met. We could call it Shricha L'Gufa, and we could call it not Kilkul Gamor. But he thinks for something like a tooth extraction, those two criteria are not met, and therefore wouldn't be an Isser D'Oraisa. Yes.
Okay, going back to Hakaza, it's being done by the doctors in the belief that this would improve the health of the person, right?
Yeah, so that's why he thinks it's their
right. Yeah, right. In terms of the shear, now Toso said, Mali, Natila Muat, yes. Okay, but if it's being done for improving
But it's still Natilas Neshama. You're taking out Mitzvah's Neshama to help him. It's like, you know, it's like the Rambam's analogy of cutting off a limb to save the body. In other words, you are being notel Neshmaso. Like we said before, the Lashon of Malikadla Palga, Malikadla Kula is a little bit imprecise in Tosfos. Now, the Tosfos holds the Gedra, the Malacha is Natilas Neshama, Damu HaNefesh, and therefore it's blood extraction. So it's done to make the person live longer, but Lemaisa, you're taking out some of his Damu HaNefesh, and therefore it would be Chayev.
So it's saying that Damu HaNefesh, very literally, that the blood you extract has some of his Neshama in it? Is that the idea?
Whatever the Pasuk means, yes. okay, it relates to Parshas HaShavua. Fine. Oh, yeah. I mentioned the question of the stem cells in the placenta. So there's a tshuva from the Minchas Asher. It's in Siman Chaf Aleph. So first he clears, he says, maybe this should be totally in the Machlokas Rambam and Tosfos, like we said. And he notes that Rov Yishonim hold like against the Rambam. So therefore you could argue it's only this or the Rabbanon. Again, and so it wouldn't even be Asher at all. It would be Mutter. And he then declares maybe it would, since you're using a syringe, maybe it wouldn't even be Dash at all. But he's not so sure if that svar is correct. Because, right, we know that Mitzitza, where you're sucking it out, is an Isser D'oraisa of Chovel. That's what the Gemara says, it's only Mutter. Because it's only mutter because of pikuach nefesh. Then he declares maybe it shouldn't be chayv because it's mifkad pakid, because it's like mamish munach bekufsa, right? And we know that there's no chaval if the dam is mifkad pakid. But then he says, well, yes, we don't really know what mifkad pakid means, so it's hard to rely on that. In the end of the day, though, he thinks that it's going to be mutter. Okay. So, I think there's makom lahakel, even though, you know, that doesn't rise to any type of pikuach nefesh shayla. So one of the places where this shayla comes up commonly is for diabetics. Why? Diabetics have to check their blood. So they have to be motzi blood. So l'chor dealing in this or derisa. Now, at the same time, it's a pikuach nefesh, so it would be mutter. However, we generally hold that if you could be memayit b'malacha, even if it is pikuach nefesh, you should be memayit. So what does that mean? So there's a great sefer called Sokeres b'Hilchoseha, a whole book on the halachos relating to diabetics. So it talks about everything, about fasting and this and that, but a big chapter on this question of how do you check your blood? How do you monitor your blood on Shabbos? So he says you need to do a shinui, and he says that you actually have to do a shinui on two steps because there's two aspects. Number one is the prick. And number two, the prick itself, when you monitor your blood, you don't want to like have a big wound. So it's a very tiny little prick. And even if a little drop of blood comes out, it won't be enough for the test. So then during the week, you do the prick and then you put pressure and then more blood comes out and then you have enough for the test. So he talks about how you should do a shinui in both steps. If you do a shinui in both steps, then it would be in the Siddur Rabbanan, and obviously if you could do that, it would be better. Happens to be nowadays the shaila is rare because most diabetics have constant glucose monitoring. There might be a Siddur Rabbanan of like pressing the button, but that's easy enough. You could press the button with your knuckle and things like that. So I saw over there, there's an interesting machlokas haposkim. I don't want to get into it so much, but I'll just tell you. If you have to try to minimize the amount of blood that leaves, and it gets into a lot of interesting shilas. Number one is ribui shiurim. Is that nisid reis or not? The Rashbam Ran discussion. Then the question is, could you say that the additional blood is mechalkal into hufa? I only need as much blood as I need to take the test. So I don't have to worry about not doing additional blood. Anyway, interesting. Leva Dika Shaila. Okay. What I want to do now, which we don't really have much time to do, but is to talk about the general discussion of Mekalko, which comes up really in the Rishonim over here by the sugya of Mekalko, the Chabure, and the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid that we talked about, but really relates to all Machloksin. So first of all, I guess let's talk about a couple questions. How do I know that there is a Ptur Mekalko? So the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Amud Aleph says it's because it's not Meleches Machsheves. It would seem that the Ptur Mekalko is Shayach, even though I'm getting something out of this. For example, let's take the example of the Gemara at the beginning of, that we saw at the beginning of the year, that if you Chofer Guma Ve'enot Sarech Elal Afra. So we say that that's Patra because of Mekalko. That's what even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. So over there, even though there's a tikkun, what's my tikkun? I'm getting my dirt. I need dirt. I don't know why I need dirt. I want to make a plant, plant a plant. So it's tikkun in a certain sense. But since your Mekalko, let's say your inside, so it's with respect to the binyan, with respect to binyan, it's Mekalko. So that's still nidon as Mekalko. One of the big issues, which we'll talk about in a moment, is to figure out the gader of that. Now, when it comes to Chovel, then we have a double question. Is it an exception in terms of Mekalko? And two is it an exception, if you assume it is an exception for Mekalko, is it also an exception for Enzich Lagufa? So if you think, for Tosfos, one thing has nothing to do with each other, because Mekalka, Eino Tzrich L'Guf has nothing to do with Melachas Machsheves, it has to do with Eino Dumya D'Mishkan. But Rashi does seem to link these issues, and Rashi seems to learn that the Ptur of Eino Tzrich L'Guf is also Al-Flak and Lachem Seves. So if we're going to say that Mekalka B'chabur is Chayev, that's telling me we don't need Melachas Machsheves. Likewise, the Gemara in Chagiga says that Mis'asek B'chovel is Chayev. Also, why? Because we don't need, sorry, not Chagiga, Krisos Yotas in the base. Just like Mekalkal is Pater for, is Chayev for Chabura, so to Mis'asek is Chayev for Chovel. So what we seem to be saying is that the Pturim of Melachas Machsheves don't apply to Chovel, in which case Rashi says, well, it would seem that Huadin Ein Tzrich L'Gufa shouldn't apply. And Tosfos says, Ma Pitom, Ein Tzrich L'Gufa is something different. That's Dumi D'Mishkan. So this relates to their general Shaila. Tosfos points out, this is again Pei Dalet Amud Beis in Sanhedrin, that seems to be pretty mefurish like Tosfos. There we do apply the Ptur of Ein Tzrich L'Gufa, even by Chovel. So how would Rashi deal with that is an issue the Rishonim discuss. So what's the big lumdus in this Shaila? So it's going to go ahead, and they relate to when you have some type of action that has a kilkel and a tikkun, how do you deal with that? So as I told you before, there's a very nice discussion of this in Orcho Shabbos, Chela Gimel, page Reish Samach Zayin, who discusses this extensively. But basically, over there, if you look, he distinguishes between three types of cases. Number one is there's a tikkun koldehu, or a tikkun ktsas. And it seems that this is a big machlokas rishonim. According to probably most rishonim, you're pater in this case. This is the view of Tosos, Andaf Kovav, Amud Aleph, and Ar Sugya, Tosa Rosh over there, the Baal Mor, the Ramban, Rashba, Ran, and Ksubos on Hamid Beis. And they all assume that if it has a tikkun koldehu, now what does that mean? It means that the kilkel is more than a tikkun, or this is something that's not normally done. In other words, there's no, either there's a net loss, yes, there's some tikkun, but the kilkel is greater than a tikkun. Moreover, this isn't like a normal thing you would do. So then you're pater, even though there is some level of tikkun. Again, Rabbi Avon, Rabbi Yochanan disagree with Das, Rabbi Shimon, by Mekalkel B'chabur about this topic. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you still need a tikkun ktsas, and that's why Chovel, the Tzarch Ladam for your Kalev, is chayiv, but not if it's a pure kilkel. Rabbi Avau says, no, you're chayiv entirely. But what these Rishonim assume is that a tikkun koldehu, under normal circumstances, would be pater, right? Like something like, you know, being taking out dam to give your vampire dog. That's a, it might be a tikkun koldehu, but it's certainly not, the kilkel's yoser and not tikkun. It's not something that you normally do. And under normal circumstances, you would be potter for that type of thing. That's begeder, that's the geder of kilkel. Rambam seems to disagree, because the Rambam says, derech meriva, it's considered misakin, right? Avin nachas v'rech liyitzvah. So, okay, yeah, but I take this beautiful vase and I smash it. So it's, I feel a little better, but I ruined a vase. So the Rambam seems to say, yeah, if there's some level of tikkun, then you would be chai. That's one case. Another scenario would be where you have a maisa kilkel, but a tikkun that's chutz lagufo shel malacha. And this too is a discussion in a machlokas rishonim. Like, let's say you rip open an envelope, but you get a letter. How do you deal with that? And in the third case he has is a case of a maisa kilkel, and the tikkun isn't related to the malacha, but it's outside of the malacha, like the example of chofer guma for the dirt, right? The malacha is, in this case, binyan, but that's totally a kilkel. But chutz l'malacha, you end up with this byproduct, which is tikkun. Anyway, we don't have time. So, but if you want to take a look, Ayin Sham, and Be'ezras Hashem on Sunday, we'll start the new malacha. Be'ezras Hashem. What is the new malacha? I think what's next, I'll send the Ma'amar Kamos out today, but I think what's next is Me'abed.
Question? Hello? Hello?